Psalm 87, as we have so helpfully read to us this morning, is one of the great riches of Old Testament scripture. It has at its very heart the title that has been given to it for us in the ministry schedule of home. It is about coming home, and it is about that home which has been purchased for us by the free grace of God through the perfect life, the sacrifice, the resurrection and the ascension and the intercession for us of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get into the body of the psalm, it's worth just noticing a few things about it. This psalm, if you look in your Bible, is credited to the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah, in terms of this section of the Psalms, three men, Heman, Asaph, and Jeduthun. And those men were poets and musicians, and they were selected by David, king of Israel, to be the leaders of the sung worship of God's people. They're often referred to as the singers of pleasant songs. And that's not just to show off that we know their names. It's very, very important, because those are their given names, but they're the sons of Korah. Now, for anybody that knows their Old Testament well, your mind will be going way back to the exodus of God's people when he rescued them from Egypt. And the great encouragement is that these people came from a very dodgy background indeed. You'll hear me say later on, as you will have noted in Psalm 87, that God says that his people are recorded in the list of the peoples and record of the peoples as being born in Zion. Well, as far as my passport says, I was born in Liverpool, so I've got a bit of a dodgy nature myself. But these men came from a man who, together with his co-conspirators Dathan and Abiram, set themselves against Moses in the desert. And in doing so, set themselves against God. And when they did that, God said, "Separate those men over there," and he burned them up with holy fire. What a great thing it is that their descendants are marked out not by some way of shame of their ancestors, but by singing the songs of Zion, by leading God's people. Because this is not about where you're from in terms of this world. It's not about what you have done or your family has done. This is all about the salvation brought by God through his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all of this psalm, Old Testament though it is all of grace and all of goodness, and the goodness of our God in his mighty Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With that encouragement, remembering that these are the words of the sons of Korah, let's look at our psalm. Let's see in the first three verses that we've got the security of a city with foundations. The opening three verses, he set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God, which is why we've just sung John Newton's great hymn that we have. Those verses show where God has set not only his foundations, but the foundations of his people. Because the foundations of his people are set in the mountain, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for this psalm, it talks about the holy mountain. You can go back further in the Old Testament. This is Mount Moriah. This is where God shows the greatness of the grace to people, because this is the mountain where he said to Abraham, take your son, Isaac, your only son, the son of promise, whom you love, whose name itself meant laughter, and sacrifice him on the mountain. Offer him as a burnt offering. Wonder if there are places in your life that have specific memories for you. Well, sure enough, it would have been in Abraham's mind when he took his only son, the son of promise, and bound him on the altar and had the knife in his hand ready to take the death of his own boy. When we hear in Genesis that the angel of the Lord cried out to him, do not lay a hand on the boy, he says, do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son, the angel of the Lord, not just a common or guardian angel. Whenever we read in the Old Testament that the angel of the Lord appeared, and it's only on select occasions, that's what the theologians call a theophany. That's the Lord Jesus Christ before he was ever come to this world in Bethlehem. Don't touch the boy. What a place. He set his foundation on the holy mountain. It's the same place that King David bought land for the building of God's temple. And when his son Solomon built it, here it was that God says in 2 Chronicles 7 that at the establishment, at the dedication of the temple, God says, I've chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and heart will always be in there. Here's the place where God comes to dwell with his people. Here's the place where God lives amongst his people, where he cares for them, where he teaches them. We read again in some of the later Psalms that God breaks the weapons of war that are set against us in the throne room of heaven. So all the things that threaten you, all the things that would frighten you if you ever knew about them, most of them have been destroyed before they ever got into your conscious thought in this place. Many of God's promises to his people, which are never to be broken, are connected to the mountains, a symbol of permanence and solidity in times of challenge. And God says in Isaiah 54, though the mountains be shaken and the hills may be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Now God has built his church, that's talking about Hope Church, but all the collection of all the believers for all time, on the solidity of his promises and the greatness of his grace. This is where the Lord expresses his deep, abiding, eternal love for his people, whatever our current circumstances may be like. Where the sons of Korah tell us, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Well, why is that? Is that just some sort of poetic thing that sounded good, and the sons of Korah got together and said, hey, here's a great way to start a psalm. That'll get them going. Not at all. It is here in this place, and here in this place this morning, if you can credit it, that God meets with and dwells in the middle of his people. And it is here that God's people come to his presence with honesty and openness of heart to worship together. And the Lord loves this, the assembly of his people, where he is in the midst of us, more than all the individual and family worship of the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loves it when his people come together. And we need to remember it. It's not for nothing that that glorious hymn that we've just sung, John Newton, opens by saying, glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. When you get towards the end of it, you know that verse that says, fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children. Now, I know it's summer, but it won't be long. Turn round twice and it'll be Christmas. And you'll be up in the loft getting all those baubles, you know, and the lights that won't work, that work perfectly when you put them away last year. You'd be stringing them up round the tree, and part way through, it's bound to happen. That bauble that looks so fantastic will be knocked off and it'll find its way down the back of the sofa. And about this time next year, you'll pull the sofa out and you'll have a look, and it won't look anything at all. Because fading is the worldling's pleasure. All his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure come because God loves the gates of Zion and he loves his people. Abraham, that patriarch, is commended in the letter to the Hebrews, as we're studying in the evenings, for looking for a city with foundations as the place that would be his home. Now, we live in buildings with foundations. We are in a building with foundations. At least I hope we are this morning. Abraham wasn't. His whole life was spent in tents. And Hebrews said, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. What about you this morning? What are you looking for? Is life just made up of the worldling's pleasure? Or is it the solid joys of God's grace as he presences himself, as he lives with his people in the gates of Zion? Secondly, the Lord does quite a marvelous thing. He credits with people, his people with Zion on their passports. And it's so important that it's mentioned time after time in our verses that were read to us. Many people here will have a passport. Have you ever read the front page? Have you ever spent time reading the front page? It's all right, it's not going to come on there. It's going to come on here. I'm really chuffed that I've still got a passport that refers to our late Queen. It's great. You know what it says? It says, Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires in the name of Her Majesty all those whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance, and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, when that awkward person at the border is looking at your passport and they've got a bit of a scowl on their face and they think, a fairly dodgy guy this. You have the authority in that document, is my sovereign says it's okay. How much greater, what a thrill it should be, even in our darkest moments, that our eternal sovereign, bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, says the same things. Let my people go where I send them, without let, without hindrance, because they are my people. And for many of us, the place we were born is a distinct and significant part of our identity. My passport says that I was born in Liverpool. I'm dead chuffed. I am. I'm in this sort of foreign country on cultural missionary work, but that's what it says. It'll never change. Because nothing can change that event except the psalmist in these verses sings of those who have Zion recorded as their place of birth. And if you look at the verses, it seems rather strange. Look at verse 4. I will record Rahab, that's Egypt, and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Philistia, place of the Philistines, and Tyre along with Cush. And we'll say this one was born in Zion. How is that? How is it that the Lord declares it? It is because in the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God puts to death and raises to life his own Son, the beloved treasure of heaven, so that his own chosen and dearly loved people might be at home with him. Not so that they might think a lot of themselves, but that they might think much of Christ. And it may be this morning you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not sure what's on my passport. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you realize that outside of him, you have and are nothing but a sinner in the hands of an angry God. And you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to change the stamp on your passport. Do you know what? By grace he does. And I'm really pleased about that. And you look properly miserable about it. So allow yourself at least a grin. What a great thing it is. It's in the same place, exactly the same geographical place, that the Apostle Peter in his sermon to crowds of people after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit quotes the Old Testament prophet Joel, where this same living God who loves the gates of Zion and his people says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, amongst the survivors whom the Lord has called. Do you know, we do get big-headed at times, don't we? As far as I can see from looking at you this morning, and I'm wearing my reading glasses, so you're a bit faded out there. But you're all perfectly decent and respectable and nice people. But I tell you this, God has taken sinners from a horrible pit out of the filth and the mire and put them on the rock of Christ and delights to present himself with them. And everyone, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In our passage last Sunday morning from Romans 11, we read of and David explained to us how you and I, Gentiles, are branches which have been grafted into the olive tree of faithful Israel. If you love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you have called on the name of the Lord, you are, in the language of Romans, wild olive shoots who've been grafted in. Or to use the language of Psalm 87, you have been written into the list of the peoples, this one. And I could do it this morning if I was so minded. I could go round you by name and I could say, you and you and you. So I'll just content myself with my oldest and most faithful Christian friends, Stephen Joan Turner, born in Zion, by the grace of the living God. What a thing it is. What is it then to be one of those whom the Most High himself will record in the register of the people, this one was born in Zion. And you see how important it is. It's there in verse 4, it's there in verse 5, and it's there in verse 6. If you want something properly emphasized, it's always worth saying it three times. So be sure this morning that if that is you, if you were born in Zion, whatever else may occur, whatever circumstances may surround you, you have cause for great encouragement and great joy. in this place, in the gates of Zion. The Apostle Peter, in his heart-stopping sermon from the early chapters of Acts, preaches to thousands of people. And I'm very glad it was part of his sermon that brought me to understand and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, written on my memory. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he has. And because of that, on your eternal passport, it is written, this one was born in Zion. Stamped. Never to be erased. My passport will run out. It's got quite a while to run, but it'll run out. But this one won't. Because it's God's eternal purpose that he will have his people and he will dwell amongst them. And they are secure on his holy mountain. Just as much as Isaac was as he saw his father's knife plunge towards him. What a thing it is. What about you? Where do you stand with this? It could be that you are one of these blessed people who have born in Zion, stamped on your passport, but you just might have lost sight of that. It's so easy to do. It's so easy for other things to crowd in. Well, don't lose it. Get after it. Even if you only see it as a bit of a gleam, get after it, because it is your most precious possession. I spend quite a lot of my professional life training head teachers. One of the heads, right? Even people like your head teachers now, wow. Yeah. They say quite strange things, you know. We used to ask them, if there was a fire in your house and you could only save one thing, what would it be? Probably the strangest answer was one lady who said, I'd save my ballet shoes. Good for you. Other people talked about their children or their animals or things like that. And then I came across one man who said, I would go and get my Bible. And we became great Christian friends. Well, what sort of people ought those who have born in Zion stamped on their passport be? What sort of lives should we lead? How grateful. Because the psalm finishes and the sons of Korah bring it to a close very, very well. In verse 7, they say, as they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. Alternatively, some versions say, all my springs are in you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may go through difficult times. And indeed, in the words of Psalm 23, we may pass through the valley of the shadow of death, but there is no change to God's decree. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your eternal passport is stamped with Zion as the place of birth. So all the springs and fountains of eternity are open for you and for all who will trust in him. So how will we sing then? In the words of a very favourite hymn, come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known, join in the song with sweet accord and thus surround the throne, for we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching onward to Zion, the beautiful city of God, by his grace and in his name. Amen.